Scripture reading this morning will be Proverbs chapter 20, verses 20 through 24. If you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's word. He who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. An inheritance gained hurriedly at the beginning will not be blessed in the end. Do not say, "I will repay evil." Wait for the Lord, and he will save you. Differing weights are an abomination to the Lord, and a false scale is not good. Man's steps are ordained by the Lord. How then can man understand his way? You may be seated. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for loving us and teaching us. Lord, we ask that you would help us to see how foolish we are. Lord, that you would help us to see how much we need you. Lord, we thank you for your word and the work that you're doing in our lives. We just pray, Lord, that you would teach us now as we look at your word, that you would continue to conform us to the image of Christ, and that we would be more and more like you, pleasing to you in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you ever get in a hurry? Maybe a better question in this fast-paced lifestyle we live. Have you ever not been in a hurry? We're always in a hurry. We're rushing into everything, rushing through everything. And oftentimes, it doesn't turn out very well when we hurry. Well, this morning in these verses in Proverbs, we're going to see some of our tendencies to rush, to hurry into things. And we'll see some of the problems that come from it. The outline of this message, there's 5 points. Actually, there's one for each verse, but there's really only 3 points. 1 and 5 are the same, and 2 and 4 are the same. But number one is, in a hurry to go your own way. Number two, in a hurry to gain wealth. And number three, in a hurry to take revenge. And then 4, in a hurry to gain wealth. And 5, in a hurry to go your own way. And the title of this message comes from verse 22. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Trust in Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. So number one, don't get in a hurry to go your own way, but wait for the Lord. Verse 20, he who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. Here in this verse, we see the curse that is upon the rebellious man. The rebel who curses his parents, who goes his own way, he will suffer the consequences of his foolishness. So in this verse, we see, first of all, we see the curse, the crime, and then we see the curse, the consequence. So the verse begins with the crime. He who curses his father or his mother. This is describing one who may have started out being disobedient, didn't obey his parents. And then it escalated more and more. He didn't obey his parents. He won't listen to their instructions. He won't listen to their corrections. You see, he's just tired of being told what to do. He's in a hurry to go his own way, to do his own thing. And his rebellion has gone so far that we see here he curses his father or his mother. You see, he has such a hatred for his parents. He speaks to them with disdain. You see, he's really wishing evil upon them in cursing his parents. This is a very serious crime. In Exodus 21:17, the death penalty was the result of such crimes. But this hatred and this rebellion that's directed towards his parents, it's not exclusively of his parents. We've seen throughout the Proverbs that parents are really the source of sound wisdom, of wise guidance for their children. So you see, what parents are doing, they're really showing their children the way and the truth and the light. They're really showing their children Jesus and his ways. So this rebellion, this rejection of his parents' teaching, it's also a hatred and rejection of God and his teaching. It's ultimately a rebellion against God to curse your parents. And this really is the crime of rebellion. He's in a hurry to go his own way. He's in a hurry to do his own thing. He curses his parents. He hates God. He rejects wisdom. And then in the second half, we see the consequences. His lamp will go out in time of darkness. In times of darkness, this is when you need a lamp the most. Yet his lamp will go out in time of darkness. All sins have consequences. But here what we see, I believe, is a reverse of the promises of the fifth commandment. Ephesians 6, 2 through 3 says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth." So here we see the blessings that are associated with honoring your parents. And they are that it may be well with you, that you will live long on the earth. And so here in Proverbs we see the curses associated with not honoring your parents, but cursing them instead. Your lamp will go out in time of darkness. So you see here the rebellion, the rejection of wisdom in cursing your parents. Those who curse their parents, who reject God, who go their own way in life, they will suffer for their foolishness. In general, things will not go well with them throughout life. And they may very well have their life cut short. So what is this verse teaching us? Not to reject our parents? Yes, absolutely. But along with that, not to reject the Lord. Not to reject Him and His ways. You see, there will be times in your life when you think you know better than your parents. There may even be times in your life when you think that you know better than God, but you don't. So don't be quick to rebel. Don't get in a hurry to go your own way. Don't curse your parents. Wait on the Lord. Humble yourself. Honor your parents. This verse is clear. Those who curse their parents, who go their own way, are rebelling against God. They're walking away from the light. They're choosing to walk in darkness. He who curses his father or mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. Number two, don't get in a hurry to gain wealth. Wait for the Lord. Verse 21, an inheritance gained hurriedly at the beginning will not be blessed in the end. Now this verse shows us the general principle that money that is gained quickly and prematurely, oftentimes its blessings will not last very long. Now this verse lines up very well with the parable of the prodigal son. Although it's not the main point of the parable, it fits very well. I'll just read for you the first few verses of that parable in Luke 15. This is Jesus speaking, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. And he divided his wealth between them, and not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. You see, this is exactly what this verse in Proverbs is speaking of. We see a young man who got a lot of money quickly, prematurely, and he was too young and foolish to use it wisely. And so the money didn't last long. He wasted it away. The first part of the verse says, an inheritance gained hurriedly at the beginning. Well, there's nothing wrong with an inheritance. That's a good thing. That's a blessing. Money in general is a blessing. But the difference that we see here is with wealth that is accumulated quickly. It says hurriedly at the beginning. And this is where the potential problems come in. You see, all too often we're in a hurry to get money. We're impatient people. We live in a culture that says get what you want now. Don't wait for later. And so we oftentimes are in a hurry to gain wealth. You see, we don't want to do things today that might be profitable in 20 years. We want to do things today so that we'll be rich today. This is the mindset. People are always searching for another way to get rich quick. Everybody wants to get rich quick. Nobody wants to get rich slowly. Get rich quick. One problem with setting your heart on getting rich quick is that you become tempted to use dishonest or foolish methods to try to get rich quicker. You know, the lottery is just one example of many. Many people spend money every day on a lottery ticket. They want to get rich quick. But you see, when you look at Scripture on the topic of gaining wealth, hurriedly and at the beginning is not what you typically find. Biblically concerning gaining wealth, first of all, It's not something we should set our heart upon. That's not why we're here. It should not be our main goal in life to see how much earthly riches we can pile up. Secondly, we see biblically concerning gaining wealth, that wealth is gained by working hard. Working hard. Don't be lazy. But this isn't just one day. This is day after day. This is long term. Working hard. And then also being wise. The fool and his money are soon parted. We need to be wise. And so when you look at Scripture, most of the time wealth is not built quickly, but slowly over time with the combination of working hard and being wise. But when wealth is gained hurriedly, we see the results here in the second half of the verse. It will not be blessed in the end. What we see here is that most of the time when wealth is gained quickly, it's also lost quickly. Inheritance or wealth, which is a blessing, when it is gained hurriedly at the beginning, it oftentimes does not last. The blessing does not reach its full potential. You see, it could have been a blessing for years to come, but it was squandered. It was wasted away. Many times when money is gained quickly and foolishly, it is also then spent quickly and foolishly. You see, most lottery winners go broke within a few years after they win the lottery. All that money, gone. Wasted. It didn't last. It will not be a blessing in the end. So may we not get in a hurry to gain wealth. Don't set your heart upon earthly riches and trying to get rich quick. But let us do good and work hard and be wise. And may we wait upon the Lord and be content with Him and what He gives us. An inheritance gained hurriedly at the beginning will not be blessed in the end. Number three, don't get in a hurry to take revenge. Wait for the Lord. Verse 22. Do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and He will save you. In this verse, we see the faithfulness of God, and we see the wisdom in leaving matters in God's hands. This verse is very dear to my heart. This verse God has used in bringing me great comfort in life. You see, there will be times in all of our lives when you're under attack, when you're being persecuted or falsely accused, or you're facing different trials and evil is being done to you. And you want to make things right. You want to take revenge. You want to repay evil. You want to give them what they deserve. You want to take matters into your own hands and fight for what's right. Now in life, you will experience these times of trials. And you will struggle with these feelings of vengeance. But praise God, He has given us instructions for times such as these. The verse begins, do not say, I will repay evil. Notice that it doesn't just say, don't repay evil. It says, do not say, I will repay evil. You see, don't even speak of vengeance. Don't even think about repaying evil. Don't let yourself entertain the thought. Don't get started down that path. Don't let sin get a foothold. You see, it's times like these that we so desperately want something to do. We want God to give us direction. We want Him to use us to help remedy the problem. And in the second half, He gives us our instructions. Not always the job that we were hoping for, but exactly what we need to do. The second half says, wait for the Lord, and He will save you. God wants us to wait for Him. Wait for the Lord. In times like these, this isn't always what we want to do, but it's exactly what we need to do. Wait for the Lord. Now, oftentimes when we think about waiting, we think waiting is doing nothing. Waiting is just waiting. But that's not the case. When God says, wait for the Lord, you see, He isn't taking you off the battlefield and telling you to stay on the sidelines and don't do anything. No, He says, wait for the Lord. Trust in Me. Trust Me. Wait for the Lord and He will save you. Trust in Me and I will save you. Waiting for the Lord is not doing nothing. It's trusting in Him. So we're to trust God. You see, God knows all the details of your trial. He knows exactly what happened. And as righteous as we may think our hatred of evil is, God hates evil far more than we do. And unlike us, there's no danger of God reacting in sin to the situation. You see, what happens when we're faced with these trials? We get hurt. We get offended. We have a biased perspective. But God is holy and righteous, and He will take care of it. Romans 12, 19 through 21 says, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So wait for the Lord. Is this hard? Sometimes it is. But it's right. Oh, the problems we cause when we get in a hurry to take revenge. The problems we cause when we don't wait for the Lord. And we just rush in and we repay evil. We sin. We just make matters worse. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Cry out to Him. Plead with Him to fight for you. The verse ends, and He will save you. Praise God. God saves. God saves. Amen. God saves. Trust in God. He will do it. So we're taught here in this verse, even when you're mistreated, don't get in a hurry to take revenge. Don't repay evil. Don't even speak of it. But continue to do good and wait for the Lord. Trust in Him. Do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and He will save you. Number four, don't get in a hurry to gain wealth. Wait for the Lord. Verse 23, differing weights are an abomination to the Lord, and a false scale is not good. Here, once again, we see how wrong it is to cheat others in business. Differing weights and a false scale both speak of cheating others when it comes to buying and selling. And as the verse says, this is not good. God hates this. This is an abomination. Listen to Deuteronomy 25, 13 through 16. It says, you shall not have in your bag differing weights, a large and a small. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. You shall have a full and just weight. You shall have a full and just measure, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. So we see that cheating others in business is condemned. But why would people do this? Why would we cheat someone else? Again, because we're not content with what God has given us. We want to make more money quicker. And so when we get in a hurry to gain wealth, we find ourselves leaning on our own understanding. We find ourselves finding sinful ways to accomplish our goals. And God hates this. We need to trust Him. We need to wait for the Lord. So the lesson here is, don't get in a hurry to gain wealth. Don't cheat others to try to get ahead, but deal fairly and honestly. Differing weights are an abomination to the Lord, and a false scale is not good. Number five, don't get in a hurry to go your own way. Wait for the Lord. Verse 24, man's steps are ordained by the Lord. How then can man understand his way? Here we're taught that in all of life, we are dependent on God. And we should never cease to seek divine direction. The verse begins, man's steps are ordained by the Lord. God is sovereign over all. All our natural actions depend upon God's providence, and all our spiritual actions depend upon God's grace. Man's steps are ordained by the Lord. The best man is no better than God makes him. The strong man is no stronger than God makes him. All our business endeavors do not succeed as we desire and design, but they succeed in running the course that God directs and designs. He is in control, and He will accomplish His plan. So then, the second half of the verse, we see the question, how then can man understand his way? You see, God is in control, yet man does have a responsibility. It does matter what we do. And so how can we understand what we should do? How can we know which way to go? You see, we don't know what the future holds. We don't know all the details of God's plan. So the question we see here is, how do we know what to do? And the answer is that we don't know. The answer is that God does. We don't know what to do, but God does. We need God. We need divine direction. Do you see how disastrous it is for us to lean on our own understanding and to go our own way? It's vitally important that we commit our way to the Lord. The Lord, the one who truly knows best, the one who ordains our steps. The point here is that we're not in control and we don't know best, but God is in control and He does know best. So we see here that God is everything to us. Do you see how desperately we need Him? He is our Savior and King, but He is our light. He is our guide through this world. We don't just need God when we die, but we need Him daily to lead us through this life, to direct our paths, to lead us on the straight and narrow way. So the encouragement here is to cling to God. Seek Him. Follow His guidance. Submit to His law. How can we understand our way through life? But by following Jesus. Following the one who rules over all. The one who ordains the steps of man. Don't get in a hurry to go your own way, but look to the one who's in control. Wait on the Lord. Man's steps are ordained by the Lord. How then can man understand His way? So in conclusion, we've seen many of the foolish tendencies that we have as we lean on our own understanding, as we curse our parents and rebel against God, as we seek to take our own revenge and repay evil, as we seek to get rich quick and cheat others in business. Proverbs 16:25 says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Oh, how foolish it is for us to lean on our own understanding. Don't get in a hurry to go your own way. Don't get in a hurry to gain wealth. Don't get in a hurry to take revenge. We need God. We need God. He is everything. Wait for the Lord, and He will save you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Let's pray. Oh Lord, oh, the problems we cause when we lean on our own understanding. Lord, we just thank You for loving us. We thank You for instructing us. We thank You, Lord, for correcting us. Lord, we pray that we would be humble that we would recognize how foolish we really are and how desperately we need you. Lord, that we would daily feed on your word, that we would daily be crying out to you for instruction, for wisdom. Lord, that in each day, in each trial, in each circumstance that we face, Lord, that we would not get in a hurry, that we would not lean on our own understanding, but that we would wait for you, that we would trust you. May your will be done, Lord, in all of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now's the time of interaction. If any of the men have questions or comments, I invite those at this time. Yeah, Darren. Praise the Lord. If there are no others, then we'll take a break before we come back around the table.